99.3 FM Nigeria Info. Time check is 15 minutes to 4 p.m. Welcome to Ideas with Ayobe. My name is Ezugu Chukwudi. Good afternoon, Ayobe.
Good afternoon, Chukwudi.
You're most welcome to the show. Now, on the show today, Ayobe will be speaking to Ene Obi of the Situation Room. I am very sure that if you're conversant with elections, general elections, and the role that the Situation Room plays, you would be very familiar with all that they are expected or all they seek to help Nigerians or the electorate with respect to getting information firsthand and ensuring that you are well informed. I am just going to head straight to the phone lines. NLB, it's on the line, so we delve straight into the conversation.
Thank you so much, Chukwudi. And Ene, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the program. I know that you are
up
to your ears in this work, and that you've kindly agreed to step out of an important briefing. So we're not going to take too much of your time. But I saw you, Ene, the other day making the goodwill message of the Nigerian Civil Society Situation Room to the Peace Pact committee. And I wonder why. We've already had a peace pact, in fact, more than one peace pact signed by the political parties and their chair, the chairman of the parties and the candidates, presidential candidates. Why do we need another one?
Well, the Peace Commission, the Peace Committee, wanted to do the first part as they were about starting, the political campaign. Mm-hmm. Wanting to be able to call them to order and also looking at the importance of giving them a briefing and calling them to order and also looking at some standards before the political campaigning started. And so they felt that was necessary. And now that we are coming close to the end of the campaign, they felt it was necessary again to emphasize to review how they kept their promises or not keeping the promises. Mm-hmm. And that was evident by some of the things that came out. Mm-hmm. Some of them flaunted it. Some of them, about 18% of the presidential candidates violated, about 44% of the spokespersons mm-hmm. violated, spokespersons of the political parties
yes.
violated the peace accord. Mm-hmm. And my wonder, is what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Are we a lawless country? Elderly people signing a peace accord. Mm-hmm. If you don't observe it, what happens to you? And I'm happy that the president, and commander-in-chief was himself present at the briefing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because
and so what it means from there on, this one was in the presence of the international community.
Yes.
And many presidents or former presidents of Africa and President General Yakubu was there, who was the former head of state of Nigeria, was also there. And so we hope that they will be able to accept the election results, as adults, and so that we can move on with our lives after the election.
And I suppose also that they'll be able to get their supporters and their almost fanatical, and also that we hope that they'll be able to get their supporters and their fanatical support. In that we were hoping that they would also not just be able to abide by the pact themselves, but also to ensure that their supporters and their spokespersons, some of whom are quite fanatical, would also abide by the peace pact. It was very interesting, Ene, when you mentioned the fact that the international community was there. And in a way, the fact that we had so many brother and sister African former heads of state to be there to show that, look, that we don't want you to disgrace us Nigerian candidates by doing what is not good in the sight of the world because you represent Africa for us. But I want to say that the Nigerian Civil Society Situation Room is about, because at the end of the day, this election is about Nigeria and Nigerians and what we expect of our rulers or our leaders. And I wondered, how is civil society being able to prepare for these elections? I know you'll be doing observation, or we used to say monitoring, because we are citizens, we're entitled to monitor. But with the cash crisis and the fuel crisis, is it going to be possible?
Well, the Nigerian Civil Society Situation Room opened its situation room on Wednesday, and we were able to also put to the public, before the public, the pre-election, pre-assessment environment, you know, raising some issues, you know, ranging from insecurity to the issues that we have seen before on the, like, vote buying and the violence that is in the political domain, the behavior of political parties and also governments as well, like some of the governments and the governors not allowing some opposition parties using their facilities when it is a public facility. And so all of those ranges were things that we put before. We granted a press conference just about a few minutes, just about noon, to let people also know what exactly is on ground as at now. We are embarrassed with some of the violence that is going on. Like you see what is happening in Enugu, where the gubernatorial candidate, you know, Mr. Oyibo, you know, was assassinated, and some people. And so we, the readiness of the civil society, yes, at the end of the day is ours, and that's why we're happy. The last peace accord, we're not able to air our voice, but this time they recognize the civil society, and we told the political parties that we're going to hold them and their candidates accountable for their utterances and also their behavior after the election. And so we are happy to be witness to that, and we'll be holding them accountable. INEC itself is preparedness. We are looking at them, and we'll be holding them accountable. We are no longer looking, you know, we're just not going to watch. And so for the civil society situation room, we'll grant, we'll have a debriefing at 6 p.m. this evening.
Okay.
Looking at the different technical rooms feeding us back. And then we have deployed 2,410 observers. On its own, that's the situation room itself.
Okay, apart from your constituent members.
But all our partners are deploying thousands.
Yeah, and I felt that it, because it was noticeable at that accord signing ceremony that while everybody else had nice words and words of encouragement, the you as a civil society spokesperson were a little bit more hard hitting, and you were talking about the issue of accountability, because I think we should perhaps accept that if we are, because the ideas we hear about integrity, not just democracy, but ethics and accountability. And when people appoint, when campaigns appoint to, as their spokespersons, people who are known for the intemperance of their language, is it not an ethical issue? Because, I mean, you don't keep a Rottweiler and then expect it to be a poodle. So don't you particularly, don't they appoint those people specifically in order to talk tough and to even talk trash if necessary? And is that really in keeping with the spirit of the accord?
I think for us, the presidential candidates should take responsibility for the behavior of those that they have chosen.
Yes.
They themselves, I think individually people should be held accountable for whatever they say. We notice hate speech. Ordinarily, if it is a journalist that make a hate speech, they will not just touch on the journalist, but the media house will be closed down. That's what they do. But now we are seeing violations, and we are just wondering what is going on in this country. And that's why I spoke then that this is not a lawless country.
Yes.
I cannot have good words, because we are in the field. We see what is going on, and we are saddened by it. We have the worry of the way the Nigerians are behaving. You know, many Nigerians are leaving the country. Even those who have jobs now are leaving the country, because it's like there's nothing good coming out of this country. And we cannot continue to watch it like this. You, you know, Sister Ayo, you have been in the civil society right from time. You have been through the struggle for democracy. You struggled during the military rule. We were together while you were in CLO, president of CLO, and all of that. And you went through, we went through, you know, getting arrested and all of and that. So we have made sacrifices. I cannot have calm words for them because they're directly violating things that we do. But the election presents an opportunity for us to change the tide. And we are happy that many young people are so interested in this election. Many elderly people, too, are so interested in the election. We hope that...
Thank you for remembering us elderly people, Ene.
Yes.
I mean, as I said, I think that the Nigerian people appreciate the fact that you gave words of encouragement, but you also told it like it is. As usual, we only have 15 minutes, and as I said, I know you have a lot to do. But one other issue that I wanted to raise with you on the eve of the elections, apart from the difficulties that we have with the fuel and the cash crisis, is the issue of when are we going to actually know the definite result of Saturday's election? And the reason why I'm asking that is because at the Osun State election petition, there was there was one set of results produced by INEC for the petitioner, and then later INEC said it had synchronized the some accreditation data, and that came several days later. And so it leaves us a little bit worried, apart from the provisions of the Electoral Act, which allow a result to be set aside within 7 days after it has been declared, if INEC determines that there had been any coercion or other breach of the electoral rules. So can we be, should we, are we being optimistic in expecting a result on Saturday? Or on Sunday, I should say, or do we need to take these other matters into account?
You know, for me, I am not INEC, so I cannot determine. There are so many factors. We noted also on our press briefing, you know, at noon, to put out some hotspots. And I'm just listening to the IGP. I was listening to the IGP while, you know, because I had to step out because of this. Mm-hmm. And the IGP has assured us that, you know, they will be waiting and also monitoring, you know, the declaration of results. What INEC is, has set up is a situation room and at the ICC, and we will be watching. We'll be at the collection center. Mm-hmm. We'll be watching them. As has been before, at the end of you know, the at the end of the election, you know, the good thing now is that the IREF portal is also a portal by INEC that you can be watching the results from there. That will be bringing you the results. But also at the end of the day, the collation will be done here, and I do believe that by Monday, by Sunday, we should have results.
Okay.
But there is a but. There are some hot, you know, environments. INEC has just told us now that the senatorial district, you know, from Nnewi, I think Nnewi, Enugu, is where, you know, the senator,
where senatorial the assassination
candidate has
took
been
place.
Killed. You know, they postponed that one. You know, they are going to, the election will be conducted now during the governorship election, because that's the law, you know, and so they have provided
But the presidential election will still continue.
It will continue.
But the senatorial,
you know, but there will be no election in that senatorial zone for the senator.
Okay.
For senatorial position. So we are very hopeful. We are very assured and we are hopeful. Despite the hardship that Nigerians are going through, I think we just need to struggle through and get and change the leadership to see, you know, what will come up after that.
Well, we are definitely going to have a change, and you're not the only one in Nigeria who can't wait for Sunday, although we still have another go, and sometimes I feel that the governorship is even more visceral and I don't know, person to person than even the presidential. But
my
I want to
sister,
thank you.
You were not ready to go into politics, and we defeated the military, but we're not ready, so we can't but be hopeful and encourage them.
Well, we continue to encourage them, and I want to thank you so much, Enne, and
thank
really
you,
to encourage civil society to live up to the mandate that you have taken upon yourselves, quite all right, but on behalf of the Nigerian people. And, you know, at the end of the day, people keep on saying, let the best man win. I say, well, the person who wins is the one who has the most votes and meets the constitutional
let the
criteria.
Vote count.
And that's really what it comes down to. Everybody, remember to go out and vote. Nothing like a wasted vote, and that's all we can say. You cast your vote, and let's see, the civil society will pick up the ball and run with it to make sure that it is counted and that it counts. Thank you so much, Jenny.